Welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney, a podcast about getting local Kansas City artists on the couch to chat. Hello, 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 and welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney.
Hello!
I'm Corey.
I'm Courtney.
And today on the show, we have our new, very good friend, Tori Citro, like citrus, but without the is, but with the O.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the show, Tori.
Hi!
Hi! So, funfact.com, we sort of already recorded this podcast earlier this week, and technology is a mofo.
Mm-hmm.
So...
this is our third technological failure in
almost
80 episodes.
In
that's pretty good.
Episodes, not too bad.
Yep.
So, Tori, last night at the final dress rehearsal for Jesus Christ Superstar, was standing out back on the break, and I said, what you doing tomorrow?
And I said, hanging out with you, obviously.
Clearly.
So, the kind of fun part about this is we kind of just had this interview earlier this week, but we're going to have it again, and this time,
it's... better.
Like, but the other one was so good.
It was so good.
So we'll
it's
just...
be different because we're in a totally different place in the show now.
Yeah.
We're out of tech. We have our first audience tonight, which we referenced in the old one, but
right.
It's actually tonight
We
now.
Actually are doing this tonight. Like, the public has seen it. So, Tori, I talk a lot. I just got here. How the fuck did you get to the couch today?
Oh, man. Well, I said this in the last one, but you tell me because... I have been doing theater my whole life. I grew up in a very creative household. My mom is a professional opera singer. My aunt is the head costumer for Disney World and Disney Cruise Lines.
Ooh, that is such a good factoid.
She just celebrated 40 years. So, you know, like we talked about, I thought every kid growing up went to Disney World two or three times a year.
Maybe they do.
And they should.
Parents. More than half of this room does. But
yeah. Everybody needs to save up a fund before they even have kids for a Disney fund.
When was the last time you were in Disney World?
Now it's been like a year.
Wow. How have you survived?
Just barely.
Right.
I get videos every so often from my aunt. But yeah, I'm going back for my honeymoon though, so it's going to be amazing.
Amazing.
I'm one of those adults that people make fun of that's like at Disney World like,
every time I see Mickey Mouse.
Every time. I walk down Main Street and I see the castle and I'm like, how is anything better than this?
I've not seen anything better than that. So if you could let me know.
Not a thing in the world.
Something. Yeah, I tell people that. I was like, listen, like, we all real. Like, we know, like, what the gig is there, right?
Yeah.
Like, is
I know that Eeyore's smoking in the back.
He
however.
Is. However, when Mickey Mouse, doing his little dorky walk with his big feet, strutting down Main Street USA, waving at kids, you're just like, oh my god, Mickey Mouse is fucking right there.
He's real.
Like, he's there. That's him.
Yeah.
We're in the house of the mouse.
That's the only Isabel told me this morning, because we are... almost at 30 days.
You're at the final countdown.
The final countdown.
And she was like, I think she's a very emotional child, but not about, like, she's not really a crier. But she was like, I think it's going to be my first happy tears, Mom. I was like, I know it is.
I want to be her when I grow up, by the way.
Isabel loves
her. I'm obsessed with her. And I obviously, as soon as Courtney and I became friends on Facebook, creeped her whole Facebook and was like, that kid... is everything.
Is
the
coolest.
Everything. You should follow her. She has her own Instagram.
Sister?
Little Sister Ding Dong has her own Instagram. She's pretty cool. I have no idea how I ended up so lucky with that one. She's a pretty cool kid.
But yeah, so...
so yes, your aunt works for Disney.
Yes, so all my life just grew up around amazing costumes and amazing people and, like my godfather also works at Disney World and has won, like, 5 or 6 Emmys for the parades, and like that was just the world I grew up in, and I thought everybody got to do creative things for a job.
Mm-hmm.
And so my mom put me in dance and voice lessons and whatever I could get my little grubby fingers on from a very young age. I grew up in a dark theater, like Courtney's kids. That was me just running around the theater wanting so badly to be on stage. And
when was the first time you were on stage?
The first thing that I remember was being in Wise Women. Mm-hmm. I was a lamb ba, ba, ba. That's the first thing I remember. I'm sure that I was, thank you, that's my audition cut for the next, for Boys in the Band.
Yeah. Great, come on in. Ba, ba, yep. We'll call you.
Yeah, so that was the first thing I remember, and from there it was just like any school production, anything I could find, and my parents found MTYP, which is now MTKC, and I started doing shows with them.
And how cool that sort of, I think you mentioned this last time, that sort of relationship and pod from MTKC sort of has grown with you as well.
Oh, yeah. Every time I'm in a show now, or do anything out in the arts community in Kansas City, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know so-and-so, and they're one of my best friends from MTKC. And it's just amazing because it's so professional.
Yeah.
I, you know, grew up with them doing full shows in a week. Yeah. And that's insane.
That's summer stock.
That's awesome. Summer stock. Yeah. And I was doing it at 13. And so that really showed me that, like, hey, I can do this. I can do this. I know what it takes. And I went to Missouri State University to get my BFA in musical theater. Go Bears.
Go Bears.
Also the alma mater of the, I almost said the late great. He's not late. He's just not great. Late. The great.
He's still asleep.
Justin Van Pelt. Oh, woof. That's the kind of day it is.
Yeah.
I told Courtney, I was like, the last time we did this, I got like 12 hours of sleep. Off
now
of
you,
two,
it hasn't
ten, or 12.
Even been 12 hours since I saw you last.
Exactly, yeah. And I'm like, we have a preview tonight. My hair's in a bun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was how I grew up doing theater and in this community. After college, during and after college, I had some personal struggles that I know we'll get more into.
Yeah, we'll
but,
touch base on that.
Just kind of wasn't sure if I even liked theater anymore. I was taking 20, 25 credit hours every semester and always in a show. There was literally a span of 2 years, two full years, where I was never not in rehearsal or in the run of a show. And so I got done and I was like, what do I do? Mm-hmm. Do I even like this, or is it just something I'm good at that I put everything into? And I decided that I was going to take a break for my mental health.
What year did you take that break?
I did my last show before my break in like March of 2016. And then I worked in retail for a while, managed in retail, never had the opportunity to do anything. I worked at Worlds of Fun a lot in college, and I went back and did some stuff there, but nothing major. And then I was in a really, really crappy job in December of 2018 and was having just like the time that you have in the corporate world. And I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. And so we came to a mutual agreement that I no longer worked there. And I was like, all right, I'm going to get a survival job that I can go audition for stuff. And so I am now a substitute teacher if anyone in the Kansas City area needs a substitute. And I went and auditioned for Mamma Mia with Padgett Productions.
And what was that like the first time sort of coming out of retirement and going to that audition?
Oh my gosh, it was so weird. And because I still like know all the things of like what a perfect audition song is for certain shows and stuff. And so I'm like, all right, I don't know what I'm going to do. I gotta do this. And then I'm going to sing Spice Girls and that's it. And
something you mentioned last time that I really love that you said is how interesting it was for you to be standing in the audition room again. You know, sort of like that it was the same and yet completely different.
It was exactly the same yet completely different, because in our world, in our little theater world, things change so rapidly. Mm-hmm. And so there's something about being on the other side of the table that's like so familiar, and I've done it a million times, yet also like, oh my God, I haven't done this in 3 years. Who knows if anything is still the same?
Do you like to audition?
I like the actual time in the room doing my package. The moments before and the moments after, I absolutely want to throw up.
Yeah.
No matter what the show is. It could be for the tiniest little podunk production of Beauty and the Beast, mm-hmm. or I, you know, I've auditioned for Broadway shows, I've sent in tapes for, you know, like live NBC stuff, and I'm singing and I feel amazing, and then I stop and I'm like, well, I can't sing, so I should just quit
right now.
Yep, I'm gonna go live in a hole. But yeah, I went on a whim and auditioned for that Paget production show, and didn't really think anything of it. I was like, eh, there's not really a role for me. Rosie is like my ultimate dream. She's so fun, but I'm 25 and she, you know, probably needs to be at least 42. And I was really lucky that Nick Paget saw that I could act greater than my age, yeah. and put me with in that dynamic trio with Corey and Katie Gilchrist. And
The thing though that I enjoyed about your track, I sort of have had to like talk to a lot of people about this right now, because I am naturally a gusher while trying to not be embarrassing. Like it's this weird yeah. world, you know, because I am lucky enough to be surrounded by incredible people, not just artists, but just somehow I have brought a band mm-hmm. of weirdos around me that I love. So, I might have mentioned this last time. So sorry for our listeners who was getting so many of that prefixes of like that we mentioned this. But like, I thought that actually your age in the show was pretty good for what we were trying to sell that, mm-hmm. you know, what they were trying to sell.
It wasn't Meryl, we weren't going for Meryl Streep. Like,
no, I actually enjoyed more that the ages, because for our listeners who don't know Mamma Mia, there's kind of a core trio of the mom, Donna, and her two best friends, and then Donna's daughter, Sophie, also sort of has two young friends that sort of mirrors that relationship, and Tori played the older, you know, friend mm-hmm. of that, and it really kind of showed how much difference, how much you can learn between the younger one and the older one in a small amount of time. Like, I actually enjoyed how much growing up can take place between 17 and what we'll probably call you late 30s mm-hmm. in the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it kind of showed that maybe Donna was like 18 when she had this
Yeah,
kid.
When you really think about it, she talks about being so young, and then we know that Sophie's 20, so it's like, okay, so really she's like 38,
right,
maybe 40.
Yeah. And Donna could be potentially the oldest of the three
friends. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I loved kind of seeing that sort of closer to age take that Nick took, probably based on talent and just sort of mm-hmm. what came in the room. But that was pretty effective. I was just talking to my dad last night about how much I enjoyed that production of Mamma Mia.
That means so much. We worked so hard, but...
And you guys fucked that space. Like, that's that's what was so interesting, is you pretty much, where we were sitting, there was a runway in front of us. And so you're just...
Absolutely. We're just voguing for our lives the whole show.
But it worked. And so I thought that particular piece with Paget and that was mm-hmm. awesome. And that's when I kind of first saw you and got to know you. So whenever we found out really why you're on the couch today, just for Superstar, I was like, fuck yeah, Tori should be in this show. Bring her in today.
So. Yeah. So I was lucky enough to do that with the amazing Katie Gilchrist. And also Brad mm-hmm. and
in his Speedo.
I actually walked into the boys' dressing room yesterday, like the second floor one. And I almost didn't walk in because I saw somebody was in their underwear and I was like, oh, it's Brad. I've seen so much more of Brad. All of Kansas City has seen so much more of Brad. It's fine.
I believe he was on the week prior to you and mm-hmm. he had talked about that maybe Mamma Mia might be trying to come back or something.
There are rumors.
I think
somewhat confirmed rumors that it's at least coming back one more time, mm-hmm. if not yearly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we might get
crossed.
To see Bradley's Banana Hammock every year.
Every year. You also might get to see me do Rosie at actually 38 at this point.
How old are you?
I will be 26 on October 9th.
Right.
That's right.
October 9th is a good day.
The best day of
hashtag
the year.
Hashtag Chioma birthday. Mm-hmm. Hashtag Tori birthday.
Hashtag Corey mom birthday.
Corey mom mm-hmm. birthday.
That's right.
Hashtag, yes, Pammy Childs. Hashtag Courtney's
anniversary.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Boom. Yeah.
All good things happen on October 9th.
October 9th. Right. Yeah, I love that. Me and my mom have the opposite birthdays, so I just
think
that's so cool. Yeah, she's October 9th and I'm September 10th, so 9-10 and 10-9. Mm-hmm. That was just, my entire life, I always thought that was a really cool
connection
that me and my mom have.
My dad and I are, I'm August 12th and he's August 21st, so we have
And you're the 12th and my dad is the 12th, too. Mm-hmm. So there's those numbers. What day of the... The 9th. Duh.
You were like, what day are you born on?
Yeah, like, I feel like you're one of the only nines I have in
Saturday, October 9th, 1993.
Whoa.
I'm a baby in this past.
That's true, you are.
You don't look like you're a baby, nor do you look like you're 100. So.
I think that's...
So, I mean...
I'm not Benjamin Button.
Yeah.
I'm in the middle.
You're right in the middle.
You're in the middle, yes.
We had some cast changes and some different sort of ways. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ Superstar, which has its first preview tonight, has been an adventure to put up, but mm-hmm. that is probably why I think that room is so incredible.
Oh my gosh, it's incredible. Yeah, and so I believe, you know, Katie threw my name out there because mm-hmm. they were looking for people, and Katie threw my name out there and enough people...
What we need is your style of quality and your professionalism to jump in.
Yeah, and so enough people had seen my work and knew me just from Mamma Mia that I got an email, and I immediately was like, absolutely. Because as soon as, you know, Katie and Brad, the whole the workshop was going on while we were in tech for Mamma Mia, and so they were running back and forth. And they were
you sort of saw that peripherally from their side.
And they were talking about how incredible it was, and I was like, I cannot believe I missed those auditions. Like, that's incredible. I cannot believe I missed that.
Because those auditions were, like, last October.
Yeah. Wow. So, like, almost a year ago.
Yes.
And I was not back in the space yet. And so I was just got so lucky that, you know, the way I work and my voice, like, fit in with exactly what you needed mm-hmm. and exactly the right time. And I am so glad, and I feel... like, I'm exactly where I need to be. Like, this show is, first of all, the complete opposite of Mamma Mia. So I got to, when I came back, do two incredibly different things. And I just feel so lucky to, like, be back and working in this city. Like, in college, we were always taught, like, I love my professors, but we talked about this last time. It's always L.A., New York, maybe Chicago, or... you should just get a job at the McDonald's and...
Right.
Like, that's it.
And you hit the pavement every day. You've got to go to 7 million
You
auditions.
Have to be poor. Yeah. You have to be miserable until you get your big break. And that was something, especially with, like, my mental state at the time, that I was like, I don't know if I can do that. Yeah. I don't know if I'll make it. And never even considered Kansas City as a viable option until, you know, a few months ago. And I was like, all right, I should start auditioning for stuff. And I was like... wow, there's, like, paid stuff at the Arts Asylum, and the Living Room, and the Coterie, mm-hmm. and the Unicorn, and
Kansas
all...
Kansas City's arts communities just sort of really exploded in the last 10 years.
Yeah, and I feel so lucky that I get to live in this city that I grew up in, and, like, start my adult life and my family here while still being able to do incredible theater. Because I didn't think that's something that I could have. I thought I had to, like, make a choice of, like... living a certain type of life or being an actor, and I get to do it all here. Like, it's
you do.
Really amazing, and especially being able to give back to the community that, like, made me believe that I could be an actor in the first place.
Yeah.
It's really incredible. And so that's how I got to the couch. Basically, the 6 degrees of Katie Gilchrist is how I got here.
Katie Gilchrist is the reason, for the listeners who are tuning in for the first time, is sort of the business model for this podcast. Mm-hmm. In the idea that there's so many of us in Kansas City who will go to a theater or go to an art show, or we can even get larger than that and say, like, you hear, you know, Sly James, you know, who mm-hmm. was the previous mayor. Like, mm-hmm. you hear these names, you sort of develop these personalities for them, and we were sitting here in the room, and someone came up to us, and I believe it was during Hedwig, and said, oh my god, that's Katie Gilchrist, but I'm so nervous, I can't go talk to them, and they're just like, why?
Why?
Like, yeah, like, our true natural
person. Because, like, she is the most humble, like, kookiest person. She'll have a 25-minute conversation with any stranger about
Hogwarts. And I always make the joke where I'm just like, you don't know her? Bitch, I've been trying to get her out of my house for 5 years. So, like, I'm just like, you can just go talk to her. Just go talk to her. And people are like, I don't know anything about her. I don't even know, like, what to start with besides saying, like, you did a good job in the show, you know, because I don't remember who was on the podcast before, but sort of talking about that at some point, all of those you did good in the show becomes a cacophony around you when you're exiting. So there really isn't a lot of like one-on-one time when you're sort of exiting. So I do understand that how that might be difficult to see Katie up on stage and never have the opportunity to talk. So we said, what were to happen if we were to bring in Katie Gilchrist and sit her down in a chair and say, tell us about yourself. So then the listeners might have something to go up and talk to them about. Mm-hmm. Or it makes them a little more attainable. So, 6 degrees of Katie Gilchrist is a good theme sometimes.
Right. Yes. I think she's the person who's been on here the most, too. She's been on three or four times.
She had to be a guest host once.
She did, yeah.
I talked about her old vagina.
Yeah, we did talk about her geriatric vagina.
Yeah, her geriatric vagina.
With Miss Vanessa Davis.
She's so brave.
Yes.
So brave. So
anyway, so it is just, I do think, though, that in some kismet way, the Arts Asylum brings the people to it that needs it.
Yeah.
Like, the Arts Asylum was a church way back in the day whenever we purchased it. And then once it's renovated, the walls are still servicing what it did in 1889 when the cornerstone was laid. Mm-hmm. It's bringing people to a place to celebrate and cheer and laugh and cry and have all of those emotions. So in hindsight, I really do think that the asylum is a term, and us putting the theater in a church is probably pretty apropos for what these walls were supposed to do.
Dude, it's incredible. I mean, I've been wanting to do a show here since I saw West Side Story in, like, 2014. Yeah.
And that's before the renovation at all.
Before the renovation at all, I was sitting on a folding chair, and I was just like, how incredible. Like, they're doing West Side Story, and there's, like, they're on scaffolding, and, like, there's rock walls all around, and there's a baptismal up there, and, like, how incredible. And I was like, I don't know when I'll get to do a show there, and I've called her my theater fairy godmother, because she was the first person after I came back that was like, why aren't you doing this? You're so stupid.
You are.
You're dumb.
Yeah.
And so then she, you know, put my name in for this show, and I was like, you are my theater fairy godmother. And she'll,
sure
like,
she
send me auditions and stuff and be like, go.
I think Katie, not that I don't want to see her on stage or that she couldn't do this, but I think one day Katie could become an agent of some sort.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that is in a wheelhouse of hers that she could probably develop a small client base and really sort of
absolutely,
promote and do things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you took a 3-year hiatus.
I did take a 3-year hiatus.
Do you mind sharing with us maybe why that?
I would absolutely love to. Yeah. So I, in college, I didn't really have any coping skills. I grew up just doing theater, and that's all I did, and never really explored who I was or how to cope with anything. And I love my parents, but they just kind of gave me everything. And if something was wrong, I am.
So am I.
Yes, and so if something was wrong, they fixed it, because their only child was in pain about something. And the way that in college I began coping was with drinking. And so I am now in recovery. I'm a recovering alcoholic. I celebrated 3 years on August 12th.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. And I, when I first moved back, was getting sober, and I just didn't know if this was something I could do, because I used theater for so long as a way to escape. And like, I really just hated Tori, and I hated who she was. And to have to go home to my one-bedroom apartment in Springfield, Missouri, and sit there with myself was unbearable. And so any show I could do that I didn't have to be me was incredible. That was precious time that I could not be me and not worry about Tori's problems. And then when I had to go home and like shed that skin was unbearable for me. And so I just drank a lot. I drank a lot, and I went down hard and fast.
Yep.
And
because so often, not to like stereotype theater, But, you know, after hours, after a rehearsal, I think it even happened last night, some people went out afterward or whatever. But, so you get done with rehearsal or you get done with the performance, it's 10:30, it's 11 o'clock at night. You certainly are not ready to wind down, no matter how tired you may be.
Yeah.
You're not ready. So, you go to a cast party, or you go over to someone's house, or you have a cocktail, or you smoke a bowl, or you do something, and all of a sudden you realize that it's almost enabling that sort of, like...
Yeah. It is
dark owl.
It's so the norm, and there's so many, like, we grew up seeing actors in Hollywood with, you know, their crazy partying lifestyle, and it looks really glamorous. And there are tons of people that I've done shows with that can just go out every night and have one scotch and they're good to go. And that was not me. And I know so many people in our industry that struggle with that. And constantly do, and it doesn't seem like there's a way out. And I was lucky enough that I got sober, and I, you know, I got in some trouble, and I had to get sober and realized how much better my life was. And that was a big thing that I was like, I don't know if I can do theater and be sober. Like, I've never done it. And so trying to step back in and, you know, see, like, can I go all in and be whoever I need to be and do whatever I need to do and then shed that skin and still be happy enough to go home and live my life and do all of the things that I do now. And it's been a little difficult, but mostly I'm just happy enough with who I am now that, like, my life is so much better than any character I could put on. And I have so many things in my life that could never be portrayed on stage well enough that they make me want to get out of myself.
Did you do any, like, replacement in part of, like, your recovery where, like, okay, well, I'm not drinking, but I'm going to drink 400 sparkling waters instead?
I've gone through so many different things. Yeah. Like, first, it was, like, candy and sugar, which I've always loved candy and sugar, but especially, which I learned later, it's mostly because you're detoxing from alcohol that is all sugar. But I just ate like 7,000 M&Ms a day. And then it was like online shopping, and then it was men, and then like all these other things. But really, like, I go to a program that has really, like, changed all that and helped me figure out that, like, the alcohol was never the problem, the M&Ms were never the problem. That was, like, within me and, like, something that I needed to figure out how to live a normal life.
Yes.
Because, and I mean, I doubt more and more every day that there are normal people in the world, but there are somewhat more normal people in the world that just, like, innately have coping skills. Like, I'll tell my fiance sometimes, like, things that I discovered with my sponsor, or, like, just these things that are light bulb moments for me that I'm like, oh my gosh, this is insane. And he's like, yeah, we learned that in, like, kindergarten.
And you're like, but I didn't.
And I'm like, it went right over my head because I'm like, just, you know, in the last year figuring out, like, how to treat people and, like, how to treat myself. And it's made me such a better actor and, like, so much more ready to jump into anything. But for a while there, I was like, I don't know if I can do that. Because this job is hard as hell.
It is.
Like, on physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, like, it's hard as hell.
Well, you have to wake up every morning and be willing to bear it all.
Yeah.
And then know that tomorrow you have to bear it, too.
You have, like, to bear it all again.
Yeah, part of, like, therapy, you know, I'm a complete proponent of, you know, of therapy.
Yes.
And at some point of that, like, when you go to a therapist or something, like, you sort of talk about your issues or whatever, and then eventually you're working toward a solution by the end of it. But theater's therapy is, some nights, you have to have schizophrenia every night.
Every night.
Like, you have
on
to.
Purpose.
Yeah.
On purpose.
So I've always wanted to... I'm a dreamer, I can't help it, but I've always wanted to develop, like, those panels, those conversation points of, like, people who, like you, maybe, who have, you know, are part of AA or whatever, and then, like, you could talk to actors and stuff about, like, what it's like to be trapped in your own brain and try to cope, or someone saying, this is how you fucking do your taxes, you know?
Oh my gosh.
Like, just those different sort of variables to help the artist, which I'm not saying artists aren't smart. It's just sometimes we're so creative that we are like, can someone just kind of
and we live guide such us? A we live such a different life different, than right? society portrays in every aspect or prepares us for. It's like, I don't know how to do my taxes when I worked for 47 different theaters this right. year.
I'm gonna get 29 W-9s, you know, or 1099s this year. Like, it's just, it piles up, and yeah. you're like, okay, cool.
And, or like, how to only work from 6 to 11.
Right.
Like, that's...
Just that's taxing enough.
I exactly.
mean, I remember when I was going through my recovery, it was like a feat just to learn how to have fun without being
oh my gosh.
Fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, and those sorts of things... The problem is that what you're doing isn't always fun. Like, and that's not, nobody's job is like fun 24 hours a day, mm-hmm. but like, just the like, trying to figure out our lives lead to the fact that if you leave a theater at 11:30, a bar's the only thing that's open.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
It, you only, you know what I mean? You only have those options. You only have, I don't get up and, you know, get to the bank at 8 a.m. because I've been in the theater until exactly. 1 a.m. or whatever. And it's just like, that's not what, there are other things.
Yeah.
That, and we all, and so many people have to have a survival job in some way mm-hmm. that people don't really realize. And I know that it's obvious, but like, there are people who have been at work since 5 o'clock this morning and have a damn preview tonight.
Exactly.
To get out
yeah.
at 11. Mm-hmm. Like from the end song tonight, you know, in the preview, there are some people who literally don't have 4 or 5 hours before Friday starts.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, poof. Like, that's insane, you know? Or, like, sort of going back to, like, this schizophrenia thing, like, obviously, you're not schizophrenic, mm-hmm. so how do you land in that, you know, mm-hmm. every day? And how do you talk about that? And how do you live in that headspace, you know, on how to be a schizophrenic, you know?
It's, yeah.
I'm blown away by artists who have to pull it all together, while I don't think that outside people sometimes understand that, like, theater artists.
We don't have it all together.
No, we don't have it all together. But, like, that theater, they also think that, like, everyone goes to rehearsal and, like, has a good time every night, you know, and has all this stuff. And I'm like, it is still a job. Like, we could still be having a good time in rehearsal and creating and having amazing things, but there are some days that you're just like, life is happening.
And I have to go to work.
I have to go to work.
You know? I've been saying through this whole process, I'm like, you know, talking to my fiance, and I'm like, all right, I gotta go to work, so I will see you when I get home. And he's like, what? Oh, you mean rehearsal? And I'm like,
no,
well, fine. yes, but it's a job. I'm getting paid.
Right.
Yeah. I have to be
there. Sign a contract.
I have to be there.
Which we need to send out that email about contracts to everyone. Yep. There's some confusion, I guess, about
just
that.
A reminder.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would love to have something like that, like resources for actors with anything that, you know, is quote-unquote adulting or, like...
But without it seeming so, like, self-masturbatory as well. Because yeah. I'm not trying to say that only artists can understand these things and, oh my god, we're this special, like, subcategory, but in some ways, we are.
Yeah.
Because our lives are all 1099s. Because we have to figure out when the fuck to find a dinner break whenever you get off work at 5 and rehearsal starts at 5:30.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, you're just like, I have to drive. Like, I have to get there. Like, it's just, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. And especially in the week that we're in right now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's, it just doesn't stop right
yep.
now.
So nope.
you mentioned yep. fiance. I know you like to call him your husband.
My husband. I just hate the word fiance, like I said, because it sounds like I just don't know how to pronounce Beyonce. And we all do.
We love
yes. movie. So my future husband, we are getting married on November 9th. Mm-hmm. It's going to be...
Another 9.
I'm available if you need me to come to that wedding.
I actually have invitations that I'm bringing for everybody tonight. Because everybody...
Everyone said that.
If they're available. Well, everybody...
There are 2 weddings in this cast.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Jessica and I are both mm-hmm. on the verge of our weddings.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
I love you both, you know.
Yeah, but I was like, I'm going to invite everybody because we're having Garozos, and so everybody yeah. needs chicken spadini.
Yeah, I'll be there.
I'll be there. Take my RSVP
but
now.
I directed a chorus line and got married like 2 weeks later.
That's true.
Like, that is legit.
I'm kind of really glad that I only have like 3 weeks after we close until my wedding, because I'm like, I don't need to be stressing out about all that crap. It doesn't matter.
It does not matter.
Well, at some point it doesn't, because you're getting married... regardless.
Yeah. I've been really kind of apathetic towards the whole thing. Not in a way like, I don't really want a wedding. I'm so excited to be married to him. He's the love of my life and an incredible human.
Yeah.
He'll be here Friday.
Friday. Yes,
he'll be here Friday. But yeah, well, he's an incredible human. Well, he'll be back.
Good.
He's coming like 6 times.
Well, if you want to, you can tell him to come to the party on Sunday night.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I'll tell him to come back.
Yeah,
but,
maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, he's an incredible human and my way better half, and I don't know what I did to deserve him, especially I found him on Tinder, so like, really don't know how that happened, but I'm like, I'm just excited to be married to you and have a life with you and glad that we get to have a celebration of our love, but I really do not give a flying shit what the tablecloths look like.
Right.
Right.
I do not care.
Well, that's the difference between planning a marriage and planning a wedding.
Yeah.
Ooh,
like,
Courtney throwing down the truth today.
That is so, and you know, I'm at the age, I'm 25, and all of my friends on my Facebook timeline are getting married and they're talking about flower arrangements and all this stuff. And I'm like, dude, I don't care.
Yep.
My centerpieces at every table are mini cakes.
Yeah. I was
all in
like,
different flavors. Like,
mine was a salsa cup. So everyone can eat salsa. Because I had a chips and salsa and Mexican or taco wedding.
Yes.
And the theme was, let's talk about it. Maddie and Coco are getting married.
Mm-hmm. We have ampersands
That's
everywhere.
That's incredible. yeah, so like...
Ampersands are important because it's and. You know, sometimes in a relationship, people like meld you into one. You know,
mm-hmm.
Well, what are Corey and Matt doing? You know, and I was just like, well, Corey is doing this and Matt is doing this.
I am
this.
A separate entity with a separate life.
I am a complete separate entity. We share so many same things. But no,
mm-hmm.
we are not the same human.
Yeah.
Because I killed my twin in the womb, so.
And I'll kill you too.
I'll kill you too. Yeah, that's. I'm really glad that, you know, that you have someone to sort of invest in, especially in this time of your life. And it seems you probably started off with a very honest part of your relationship too.
Oh, yeah.
Because of parts of your recovery. I feel that way. And I think Courtney as well, mm-hmm. with her relationship, like there was no room for me and my husband to bullshit each other.
No.
In the very beginning, we had to be insanely honest about 3 important things that were going on, like in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was one of those like, I don't know if it's going to get much worse and weirder than what we're what
than
I'm
what
talking
we're dealing
about
with right now.
Right now, so if you want to play this game, like it's, I think it'll only get easier from here. It hasn't really, but it's but not harder.
But not harder.
Not harder.
Yeah.
Just equally as detailed.
I from the very beginning was like, I don't need another person to co-sign my bullshit. I just am, you know, looking for somebody like you said to invest in, and like I am. Finally at a point where I am able to give love to someone other than myself.
Well, because, right, like as RuPaul says,
if you can't love yourself, how in the hell are you going to love anybody else?
And don't fuck it up.
And do not fuck it up.
Don't fuck it up.
I think that should be my hashtag for my wedding.
Yeah.
Hashtag and don't fuck it up. But,
well, hopefully, I think you're probably marrying someone who will allow for you to fuck it up and still be with you.
Oh, I do every day.
Yeah.
And I always, like, talk about him. I'm like, bless that poor man, because... I am high maintenance and really emotional, and
I could not imagine being married to me.
Oh, like, I would never even sit in the same room as me sometimes.
Oh my god.
Like, and he's like, I love you, through gritted teeth.
As long as it's not I love you, but. I'm so anti I love you, but right now. I love you, but you don't clean out the dishwasher. You know, whatever. Like, fuck your butt. Like... Wait.
Well.
Hey. But you know, but it's that sort of thing where I'm just like, don't put restrictions on your love.
Yeah.
Like, I love you. Just say that.
I always say like, I love you so much, and I need you to do this for me.
But it was See, there's the but.
I love you, and.
But I think I think that we just naturally put that, you know, connector in there of the buts or the ands
sure,
and stuff.
Sure.
Like,
it's almost easier instead of like asking for something that you need for your sanity to like try not to piss someone off and say I love you, but instead of just saying like I really need you to do this right now.
Well, I talked.
I need you to help me.
I talked to Matt about that sort of idea because I was sort of real sensitive about the I love you butts before I went to my Olathe City Council meeting the other night. But and just talking about how like I know you love me. That's like I don't need the I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Like in I do need I love yous, but I don't need you if I don't
not
need to dish
to be prefaced
washer.
With that.
Like
I don't think that if I don't empty the dishwasher...
That you won't love me. That you're going to leave me.
Yeah, and we talked about that, too, in our marriage, too, in the very beginning. We call it, like, you know, the dishwasher cleaning out. Like, are we going to get a divorce? Like, because I didn't clean up the dishwasher, are we going to get a divorce? No? Okay, cool. So all right, let's just, we're just going to move on, right?
Yeah.
That's, I'll empty the dishwasher.
We've had to really get over that, because we are pretty young still, and, like... Learning each other and living together is like, sometimes I'm literally like, I'm gonna leave you if you don't take the dog outside. Mm-hmm. And that's ridiculous. I would never do it. And so we've had to like institute an I was wrong, you were right, I apologize after any little argument because I refuse to admit I was wrong. And sometimes it's I was wrong. You were also wrong, but I still apologize.
And that is definitely one of the conversations that Matt and I have in relationships. It's like if we're you're handing me a plate. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that plate drops on the ground. We're both at fault. Mm-hmm. Even if I didn't grab that plate, you didn't make sure I had the plate. I didn't make, you know, we didn't confirm. Like, there's those things to be like, I may have dropped the plate, but did you do everything you needed to do to make sure... that I didn't do that. So, and because then...
And we could waste time, both of us being mad at the other for dropping the plate.
Help me clean up the plate.
Yeah, the plate is broken.
And then all the time, that plate is still sitting down there on the ground and the dog is starting to eat, you know.
Eat glass.
And eat glass. So, like, we both... And that was one of probably the most healthiest things that Matt and I decided, like, right in the beginning of our marriage. You know, like, truthfully, to be like, but we both dropped that plate. You know, or if that dirty plate is sitting on the counter and I want it in the dishwasher and he doesn't, because he doesn't care, who wins in that moment? Does he have to put it in the dishwasher because I want it, or do I have to allow, or do I just fucking put it? Yeah, it's just, it's a fun conversation.
Marriage,
it's a thing.
Marriage.
Yep. I mean, mm-hmm. I think the problem with those sorts of arguments is that they're going to always exist. Not because I think that a lot of times significant others, whichever direction it is, if I care about Alex unloading the dishwasher, I need him to unload the dishwasher, you know, and he doesn't do it, whatever that is, that it's what I have to acknowledge is that me asking him to unload the dishwasher because it is a priority for me does not make it a priority for him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just thinks, whatever, I didn't unload the dishwasher, no big deal, because it's not a priority for him. Mm-hmm. And I can't then
say you hurt my feelings
because you're...
Putting that huge expectation on him.
Yeah, if it was a priority for me, then do it your damn self.
Yes.
You know, right. Like, that mm-hmm. has to be okay.
But then at some point, I can't really do it my damn self.
Right.
Like, at some point, I need you... to put it in the dishwasher.
Yes, you need to acknowledge that it is priority for me and that you may be letting me down, but I also can't continually pin against him. My dishwasher has not been unloaded for quite some time. But I
have no dishes. I'm eating out of my hands. But, our children are eating off the table.
Right. But I also
have not emptied that dishwasher either. Like, right. I've stood there and wanted you to mm-hmm. empty that dishwasher.
Right. I also know he's been a bit busy doing a thing. And perhaps
he's a genius.
We can talk about that thing that he's doing, that thing that we're all doing. Like, mm-hmm. for real, Jesus Christ Superstar is a show that I don't want anyone to miss.
Yeah.
That was really good last night. That is like fuck with your head good in some ways, because I have seen bits and pieces throughout this process, because I've tried to not give Kyle directing notes, because that's not fair, you know, in some ways, but to see the work that has taken place over the last 2 or 3 days up until last night, I was like, holy moly. Like, I tickets are selling pretty well, mm-hmm. but like, get your tickets if you're listening mm-hmm. to this, because once the news gets out, people are, even if they like it or don't like it, they're gonna want to come and see what the hell they're doing. Yeah.
I can't remember who said it last night, but somebody said to Kyle after the first act, I've seen this show a million times. I've never seen this show.
Francie
was saying that in my ear, something similar to it.
Yeah, it was, I mean, I have never seen, there are 3 specific moments that I have never seen in another production.
Yeah, and that was just after the first act.
Yeah.
With all our little mm-hmm. breadcrumb droppings. And the second act is...
intense.
A thing of beauty. It is.
Well, it's art. It's, act one is musical theater in a lot of different ways. Act two, art takes place.
Like, sometimes in the last week, I've just thought about it and, like, wanted to cry, like, from exhaustion and from happiness and from being overwhelmed and, like, from the things that it makes me feel. Like, it's incredible. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I say that in every show I'm in. Like, I've just been really lucky to be in a lot of shows with some incredible people. And
that could be a testament to you, though. Maybe you're a good energy to have in the shows.
Thank you so much. But, yeah, this, like, I know for years to come, this will be, like, a bookmark in my head of incredible theater, incredible art.
I said last night, I feel like I don't deserve this show.
Oh, no.
But then we all do. Like, it's that moment, too. Like, mm-hmm. we all deserve to see this show, to be a part of this show, to be around this show, because it is talking about things that it's just so mm-hmm. good. That mob mentality, like,
yeah,
is
no, insane. No one of us in the ensemble, I think, feels like we deserve to tell this story, but, like, as an ensemble, all the shit that we've been through,
yeah.
like, we deserve this. We deserve this story.
Yes.
And the audience
deserves
and needs to hear the story.
I hope that people come with a complete open mind about this show, whether you believe in Jesus or not. The story that we are telling on this stage yeah. is something.
It transcends, like, any preconceived notions that you have about Jesus or Christianity. Like, that, it's not just a story about good. Jesus of Nazareth. Like, it is.
You could
so much more.
That. You could replace that name with any name.
You could replace all the yeah. names with people in
today.
Our government today. Yes. And
I'm also glad that Kyle and the whole team and everything chose to not necessarily pull it that way.
Yeah.
Because we could have made it mm-hmm. a complete topical piece
yep.
specifically. You know, and instead
give somebody a carrot spray tan and a bad toupee, and
yeah.
you've got
politics are hard. But you guys talk about it in the show. You know, at some point when Pilate says, you know, you hate us just as much mm-hmm. as you hate them, you know, or whatever, and like that. I think you maybe mentioned that last time.
Yeah.
But I was just like that line is for real. You know, to
yeah.
say, but why? And they were like, because the crowd is just wrapped up in it. Crucify him, crucify him.
And especially in that part, like, so many of us are playing, like, characters that earlier in the show are, like, kissing the ground that Jesus walks on. And then how quickly we can turn and crucify him because somebody said something. And, you know, we saw something on Twitter and I mm-hmm. have my pitchfork ready to burn somebody's house down. Like, it's really moving. Like, I've told everyone that I know that they need to come see this show, regardless of how they feel about the story at all.
I mean, obviously, like, theater's a business, you know, but I'm just like, get here. Like, if you can't afford to come and see this art, contact us.
Yeah.
Like, I would rather.
I still have two comps that literally right. none of my friends will take because they're like, I'm paying them money.
Yes.
I tried to give my friend my comp yesterday and he was like, I can afford a ticket right now, and I want to support them, so.
Yeah. But I mean that, too. And I think I want to put that out on social media, probably maybe, like, Monday after
yeah.
we get through this weekend, and to say, listen, and I think Late Night did something like that previously
mm-hmm.
by saying, like, if you can't afford to come see this art, contact us.
Just, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Contact us. Like, you know, and don't just grab it, but I would rather people.
It's the Arts Asylum for a reason.
Yeah.
Like,
come yeah. be a part of
right.
this.
Right, well, and it's a telling of a story that I think is important not only in the time that we're in, but it's, you know, I mean, obviously, like, Jesus Christ Superstar, if you have no preconceived notions, A, you've probably been living under a rock for
mm-hmm.
50 years, and B, like, you're gonna have one based on the title that is not relevant, in my opinion. I mean,
yeah.
is it a beautiful piece that is based on, you know, Bible stories or whatever? Sure, yeah, absolutely. But this, I think, I don't remember who we were talking to, it might have been Natalie when we had her on, that this section of the story really
doesn't.
It's like
7 days.
Well, yeah, it's 7 days, but it's also like none of the other stuff that people might be either turned on or turned off by,
yeah.
depending on which way you go. It doesn't have, there is no ascension, there is no walking on water, there is no anything
else.
Well,
we had to remove the miracles because we can't see them.
Well, but this part of the story doesn't have any
right,
of those,
but I think that's what is so cool about it, is there is, like, to, I think, to hit home some of those moments with Herod and, like, and Pilate, we can't see the miracles.
Right, you just don't have that.
He is just a man in the story.
And it is, it's a story of humanity.
Oh,
and
Chioma will rip your heart out.
Oh, my...
Rip it out.
I cried like 7 times during the run last night in parts that I've never cried at. And just like hearing Justin Van Pelt's voice crack, like in tears when I can't even see him, I'm like, that bitch, how dare you?
My husband last night said the best part of this show is that it is filled with so much passion.
Yeah.
And I was like, right.
Yeah,
we're all
coming out of every angle. But there is some surprises in this show, both in a good way and in a very intellectual way as well. Like, get ready for an evening to have your brain mushed around a little.
It does what good theater does, and it makes you uncomfortable. And it makes you uncomfortable not just with the visuals, but like what it's telling you and how it's making you feel.
I mean, obviously... Jesus is going to get crucified, everyone.
Right.
That happens.
Spoilers!
Spoiler alert.
If you haven't heard it by now, it happened in, like, 3 BC. I don't know.
So, like, that happens, and Judas has to do a little something, but I still think that that is not... That screw the normal trigger warning stuff. Like, the art around it is insane. Mm-hmm. When you guys just, like, came out of nowhere, like, 5 times, I was like, you all are brilliant. Like, you are brilliant. That's lighting, that is staging, that is your guys' acting, that is
that
everything.
crazy set.
Yeah. I think everything just came together so magically.
Well, it has to now. Like, from a heart place. Like, it just, as you said, we deserve this show.
Yeah.
But the adventures that got us here are, I think, are what is making it incredible, too.
Absolutely.
This tribe had to gain and lose some people, both in a healthy way and sort of in a sad way, in different ways. Like, we sort of just... The piece is finally coming together.
Yep.
Everyone's really in the room now that's supposed to be there. Well, Tori, this has almost been our hour.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Like, we are down to our last, like, 10.
Yeah.
Boom. So
I'm ready.
Now
I'm
we
so
go
ready.
Into the question section.
Right, and we have no idea what these answers are.
I know,
not
which is sort
not
of goofy because you got to prepare.
Up.
So I may throw in a random one in
that's
there.
Okay.
But... To start, because I liked your answer for sure last time, what is your definition of real magic?
My definition of real magic is in people and your interactions with people, because like we talked about last time, magic is both good and bad. It's not just Tinkerbell and fairies and...
Captain Hook has to show up too.
Captain Hook has to show up too, and he is for sure magical. And those interactions with people can either build you up so much or tear you down so quickly... and it's how you choose to interact with people. That's like how you, that's whether you are a good witch or a bad witch is
are you
how,
a good witch or a bad witch?
Oh, I'm a little elphaba. So for sure a good witch, but like there's moments.
I certainly in some ways believe that humanity is constantly trying to be good instead of. So that, by proxy, means that we're all sort of bad?
Yep.
Yeah.
We're just trying really hard to be good.
All we want that, all we're trying to do is not do the wrong thing.
Yep.
All the time. In different
Next
ways.
Right thing.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, well, I am going to change it up because I know we've already got those things. Right. If you were a superhero, what would your power be?
Ooh. I would for sure want to be able to teleport. I really hate driving. But I also hate like walking and riding in a car. I just want to like be there. So teleportation.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. That's a good one.
If you were able to make up a brand new law, what would it be?
No ketchup on anything except hot dogs and hamburgers.
Interesting.
I really, really hate ketchup.
But do you
but
like
okay
it on hot dogs?
I
and
like
hamburgers.
It on hot dogs and hamburgers. Just like almost like it's a necessity. But I dated a guy in high school that put ketchup on everything, like pasta and eggs and oatmeal and ice cream.
Oatmeal?
I'll put it on eggs.
Bread. Just...
Oatmeal.
Bitch like ketchup.
Yeah. But so now the smell, like, freaks me out. And so if I could just outlaw it,
Okay.
That would make my life so much easier.
That's ranch for me. Get rid of it. Throw it in the dumpster. Pour it in the river. Get rid of it.
Okay. I'm going to let you have your opinion because I also have my opinion. I also just reminded myself of a Dance Moms quote. Mm-hmm. And one of the moms says, you're entitled to your wrong opinion.
Yeah.
But.
No, you can get rid of it all. Send it all away. When I saw that Costco or something had that barrel jug or that 55 gallon, I was like,
just a drum of ranch.
I was like, that's what nightmares are.
A ranch keg.
Oh,
I would do a ranch keg stand in a heartbeat.
Are you fucking kidding me? Would you really do that?
Not because I love ranch so much, but just like because that's just funny to say I did it.
You're right. Hashtag cast party.
Get me a K. Yeah. Get me a K.
Yeah, she doesn't drink, but that bitch is drunk on ranch.
Drunk on ranch.
Oh,
exactly.
Now we have our episode title.
Drunk on ranch.
Oh, goodness gracious.
One more question.
All right, okay, so would you rather travel back to the 1900s or into the 2100s?
Back to the 1900s. I don't want to go forward and, like, because I don't want to know what, I mean, I won't be alive, but, like, I don't want to know what all that's like. It would probably just, like, ruin coming back. But back to the 1900s, if I don't mess anything up, I think would be
I would love to see how so it really cool. was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I would also love to, like, see what, you know, my family back in the early 1900s was doing and where they were and mm-hmm. what everything. I think mm-hmm. that would be so cool.
And I would love almost in some way to be able to not have the problems of, you know, 2019.
Absolutely.
And I mean that in, like, no computer. Like, right. like the those things that are, like, amazing, but you're like, well, there is one newspaper that arrives, and that's only if the Town Gazette, you
right.
know.
It gets it printed and
yeah,
died.
Gets it printed, and then that's your only source of news, and, that's you know, and blah, blah, blah. I just think that those kind of things would certainly be interesting
yeah.
to see. What is the best piece of advice you could give yourself today?
Nobody fucking cares. Nobody cares. I even had we talked about this.
Yes.
And I had an incident yesterday where I was so worried about what people were thinking. And then I was like, nobody fucking cares.
Mm-hmm. No one cares.
Nobody cares that you have butt sweat on your blue leggings during Jesus Christ Superstar. I was like, nobody cares.
No one cares.
So advice to me.
Because we're not looking at your butt sweat.
No. Nobody cares. Advice to me, advice to everybody. Nobody fucking cares. Unless you're murdering someone or something awful.
And maybe
awful.
Even then.
Yeah. And maybe even then, nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Just live your life, do the next right thing for you, and nobody cares.
Yeah, well, that's fair.
That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. One more question for you, and then we'll ask the last two.
No, I do not have enough.
I know,
questions
I screwed that up
I'm
on
so
you.
I'm so sorry. No, it's okay. I'm gonna
screwed
get one.
That up on you.
Well, we'll do another historical one. What historic event would you like to travel back to?
Ooh.
Like if you could show up at something.
The only ones that come to my mind are like really bad things. I would love to travel back to like the day after 9/11. Because I was really young and I was in like the second grade and I didn't even know what was happening until I got home and my dad sat me down to like explain it to me. And I still didn't make sense. But like, I remember vividly the next day, like the way all of my teachers came together and the way all of my friends came together and like the way our country came together. Mm-hmm. And I would love to go back there and see that time because like that incredibly awful event that like changed history forever, but like our country has never come together more. Like I have never seen, even through my young eyes, like strangers hugging in the street for absolutely no reason other than they're scared and they don't understand. And I don't know if I'll, in my life, I'll ever see something like that again. And so that's a really morbid answer, but like.
Yeah. Oh, those sorts of tragedies for sure bring people together in a truly human way. Mm-hmm. My example is, you know, the sad funeral of Chris Holbrook last year, you know, that we all went to, and there were people there who I had personally grown apart from or had some weird things happen or didn't really care about mm-hmm. them, to be honest. And those were the people that I was, like, crying and hugging in mm-hmm. a hallway to where now I'm, like, we're locked forever. I don't even, like, I will, you, any previous things are
don't
gone.
Matter.
Yep. Like, they are beyond gone. And so it is just one of those really, like, sad but sweet things that Chris Holbrook gave me. Like, his death brought some, like, peace to my life in a way, you know, and so I don't want to martyr him that way, but there were some good things for me that sort of came out of that in human relationships.
Yep. Absolutely.
All right, last two questions. So anything you did not have the opportunity to say on the show, words of advice, quick little tidbits, telling us how cute we are, anything you'd like to end with?
You're so cute, even in tech week, like, who gave you the damn right? Come see this incredible show. Like, that's not something I didn't get to talk about because I've said it a million times, but get here. If you can't afford it, contact the Arts Asylum. Contact me. I will personally buy you a ticket.
Yes. We will get you here.
Like, you need to see this.
If you want to grab those tickets or find out more information, you can go to www.theartsasylum.org/JCSKC. And that has all of our performances on it, and on that website as well has a contact area if you need to get a hold of us for any ticketing.
Also, support the Arts Asylum and donate for their new parking lot.
Please. Yeah. Or my classroom that I'm trying to build, or any of the things, you know.
Just support the Arts Asylum.
Nonprofits are difficult and fun because we literally live. Besides the grants that we can sort of get, those private donations. I always sort of make fun of, like, KCPT at the end where they're like, funded by viewers like you. And I'm like, no, they're not lying.
Okay. Yeah.
Really?
They're not lying. Like, those things are exactly what, you know. Mm-hmm. And I know that I donate to those things all of the time, $10, $15, and it doesn't really seem like you're making a difference, but as someone
who's... But you know where $10 or $15 can go here.
Mm-hmm. Well, yep. I mean, not to totally gross it out, but sometimes that's just making sure that you all have toilet paper.
Yeah.
Like, those are those business expenses sometimes that people don't really think about that, like, air and, you know, and toilet paper and paper towels and...
Soap,
you know, you're just like, oh yeah, those things that make you run a business. And then, last question, who would you like to hear from on the couch?
I would love to have Taylor Harlow on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
Astro Productions is doing...
Glass Menagerie.
The Glass Menagerie, and he's in Kansas City for a few more months. He's from here. We basically grew up together doing MTYP, MTKC, and he's...
We're interested
an actor,
in
director
for next year.
Oh my gosh, he's incredible. He's always been way ahead of his time, and just has such an eye. And also,
he has that low voice too.
He has that low voice, and he's so tall.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he just has a really interesting take on theater in itself and on the society that we're living in. And
I'm really
make a
excited.
Great hour.
Yeah, I'm really excited to sort of talk to him and get. Sort of beyond, because I kind of really only know him truthfully socially because of Jessica Alcorn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it will be really kind of fun for me to sort of get that hour with him. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was this week's Couch Chats.
That's it.
Next week we have on, I believe, Derek from the show Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah.
Yes. So we're really excited to
Derek Lindsay.
Yeah, we're really excited to get to know him. He was one of our little newbies that sort of got thrown into the fold. And we'll learn about him. So yeah,
that's right.
Come see Jesus Christ Superstar. Thanks for being on the show, Tori.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me.
And have a kick-ass day.
Yes,
bye.
Bye.
And that was this week's episode of Couch Chats. Thanks so much for listening. Couch Chats is available locally on KOJH 104.7 and also on iTunes. Remember, that's Couch with a K. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this episode are solely those of Couch Chats, not the Arts Asylum, KOJH, or Mutual Musicians Foundation. Thanks again for listening, and please remember to rate, review, and subscribe, as well as follow us on Instagram. Tune in next week to see who we have on the couch.